back to our study of Leviticus. We are in chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 16. And Moses diligently sought the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it was burnt. And he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the sons of Aaron, which were left alive, saying, "Wherefore have you not eaten the sin offering in the holy place, seeing it is most holy, and God hath given it you to bear the iniquity of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord? Behold, the blood of it was not brought in within the holy place. You should indeed have eaten it in the holy place, as I commanded."
You have to understand that they're still in the consecration process here. And obviously, this is right after the death of Nadab and Abihu. And the two remaining sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, have the responsibility. They're still in the consecration. They're going through this consecration period. Them eating this sin offering, carrying the blood into the holy place, is directly affecting the people, because God has made them the representative for Him. And so their offering, the sin offering being offered for the people, they're not eating that, consuming that, and Moses gets highly upset over that because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. They didn't carry the blood into the holy place. And so the reason for him being so upset is because it affects the nation. The leadership affects the nation. And God has designated the priest to be the ones, they're the mediator. Thank God we don't have to go to a man today. Our mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. But at that time, they had a mediator. If the mediator messes up, they're ill affected by it. And that's what's upsetting Moses here.
Even if Moses did not have the insight of this affected the whole nation, you think back to the fact that Moses had been given instruction from the Lord. Remember, all this protocol and these procedures came directly from God to Moses. And so I see a man here who's been given a mandate from God, and he wants to make sure that those mandates are followed through. And you think about how important it is for the oversight, the person that God has put in charge, he has the responsibility of ensuring that the commands that he receives of the Lord, even if there's a chain of command and responsibilities are divvied out, that those are fulfilled. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then let's keep going with verse 19. And Aaron said unto Moses, "Behold, this day have they offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, and such things have befallen me. And if I had eaten the sin offering today, should it have been accepted in the sight of the Lord?"
So Aaron speaks up in defense of the actions of his sons, and he said, "Listen, we offered the sin offering for ourselves. The sin offering for the priest had to be done first. They had to be consecrated first. Then all these things happened to us after we've offered a sin offering. Did you think that God would accept our eating this sin offering for the people?" In other words, we've already blown it. We blew that with ourselves. And so what he said satisfied Moses, and there was no further consequence to this. It wasn't costing them their life as it did Nadab and Abihu. Okay?
Yeah, and you look at that verse 20, what Pete said, and when Moses heard that, he was content. And then when we look at chapter 11, this tells us of various animals, fish, birds, and insects that were acceptable and unacceptable for the Israelites to eat and laws regarding clean and unclean animals. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and to Aaron, saying to them, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts which you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth.
Now, here we mentioned this earlier, but this is what we want you to see. God is making the distinction between the nation of Israel and all other nations. And so they're going to live by a different standard than other nations. Now, the interesting thing about this is God sets the standard. The people cannot choose what's clean or unclean. Now, that's pointing to the New Testament. God makes a distinction between the body of Christ, the church, and the world. An individual does not have the prerogative of saying what's clean and not clean. An individual does not set a standard. A denomination does not set the standard. God sets the standard. And you look at every denomination will have a different standard. They have their tenets of faith, their rule books, their this, their that, their laws within themselves. No, God does not give man that prerogative. God sets the standard. God determines what's clean and what's unclean. You with me? Now keep in mind, God made all these animals. And so God did make a mistake. You follow me? And so he's doing this for distinction. I want you to be different. I want you to be recognizable different with all the other nations. That's what this is all about. Okay? Now, if you want to fast forward to the book of Acts, when 10th chapter, when Peter is up on the housetop waiting for the noon meal, and he has this vision. He falls into a trance. He sees this vision, and it's like a sheep being let down with all types of animals, both clean and unclean. And God tells him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now, Peter's a kosher Jew. Nothing unclean crossed these lips. No, those unclean animals in here. And what does God say? What I call clean, don't you call unclean. And so all this is pointing to the difference between the Gentile and the Jew. And then when you get under the New Covenant, God includes the Gentile as well as the Jew, because now it's not nationality, it's coming through Jesus. God accepts Jesus, whether you're Jew or Gentile. So what makes one clean? Jesus. What makes one unclean? Not having Jesus as this Lord and Savior. You see what I'm saying? So all this is actually pointing to that. I can't give you all the detail. I don't know it all. But I know the glimpses that the Lord has revealed to me. It's not, can I eat this and do I abstain from this, abstain from that, and all this type stuff. That's not the issue. The issue under the law was distinction. The issue under the New Covenant is distinction. What made them clean under the law was the standard that God set with, all right, I will choose these animals and I will declare you, these animals, to be clean to you. All these other things that the Gentiles eat, the heathen eat, they were different than you. Under the New Covenant, God says, right, here's what's going to make you clean, is Jesus. This is what will make you distinctly different from the rest of the world, from all other people. It'll be Jesus. Jesus makes you clean. And so when you look at the clean animals that God is saying you can eat, it's actually pointing to Jesus who makes us clean. Does all that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, verse 3. Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven footed and chews the cud among the beast, that you shall eat.
Now this here, these next few verses is just actually reiterating and classifying what's clean, what's unclean. You know, it has to split the hoof and chew the cud, not one or the other, but both. Okay? Here again, it's just a distinction. If there's more to that, I don't have the revelation of it. And so I'm not going to try to baffle you with bull, okay? We're just going to tell you what we know, okay?
Nevertheless, these shall you not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he chews the cud, but divides not the hoof. He is unclean unto you.
So he's making sure that they have enough detail that they won't be confused about what's clean and unclean. And I'm telling you today, people are confused about what's clean and unclean. They think there's another way than Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way. There's not another way. And the Lord makes it very clear in the scriptures what makes us clean, what is acceptable to God. That's why he tells us in Romans 12:2 to renew our minds so that we can prove, put it to test, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You with me? And so it's the Word of God that's declaring what's clean, what is God's standard. Just like the law of Moses was declaring what was clean and unclean by God's standard. Okay? Today, people want to accept things that God hates. You can't embrace what God hates. You can't condone what God hates. And we're in a society today that is not taking a stand and trying to straddle the fence and holding on to perversity and righteousness. That is an impossibility. You have to make a choice. Am I going to be righteous by God's standard, or am I going to be my own God and determine what righteous is? Well, that's not going to end well for you. But if you'll go with God's righteousness, which is Jesus Christ, then it'll end very well for you.
Okay. Here's some more animals. And the coney, because he chews the cud, but divides not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the hare, because he chews the cud, but divides not the hoof, he is unclean to you.
Here again, just making it clear that you know what he means, okay? Mm-hmm. We're going with the next verse. It does the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And the swine, though he divides the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he chews not the cud, he is unclean to you.
Now, this can give you a little insight into why Jesus would allow the demons in the demoniac, the legion, why he would allow them to go into the herd of swine. The Jews were not supposed to be touching swine, though that was not kosher to them. And I think the Lord is just, you understand that the Gospels are under law. A lot of people don't understand. They say, well, that's the new covenant. But Jesus was operating under the old covenant, fulfilling the old covenant. Okay?
Right.
And so those pigs were unclean.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's allowing unclean demons to go into the categorized of unclean animal. Okay? That the Jews were not supposed to be handling anyway.
Of their flesh shall you not eat, and their carcass shall you not touch. They are unclean to you.
Now, here again, not only were they not to eat, but they weren't to touch the dead carcasses.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, this is the message I'm getting out of this. God does not want us touching or handling things of death, dead things, like dead works. You with me?
Yeah.
God is wanting the born-again believer to be distinctly different than the rest of the world. Don't touch that dead stuff that they're handling. All these laws and religious things, mindsets and perversity and all the other things. God says, no. You're a living being. You have eternal life in you. Don't try to mix life with death. Stay separated from death. That's why he tells you to consider yourself to be dead, talking about the carnal man. Reckon yourselves dead. Consider yourself to be dead. Life and death, which will we choose? You know, under the law, Moses set before them life and death. You choose. You do it God's way, life. If you don't do it God's way, death. It's the same thing in the New Testament. Choose life or death. You either choose Jesus and get life, you reject Jesus, you get death. You see all that? Leave the dead alone. That's why, what did Jesus say? Let the dead bury the dead. That sounded like a cold statement when the guy says, you know, I'll follow you, I'll be your disciple, but let me first go bury my father. You know, he's old, he's getting ready to die. Jesus said, let those who are dead bury the dead. You come with me. What's he doing? He's separating. That's what this is all about. Leave the dead stuff alone. You with me? I'm telling you, Christians are so involved in dead junk, dead works. You look at Hebrews, the 6th chapter. He talks about that. Repenting from dead work, not repenting from sin. Repenting from dead works. I asked the Lord back years ago, I said, what is dead works? And the Spirit said, just that quick, what is dead faith? I said, faith without works. He said, works without faith is dead works. The two go together. Faith has a corresponding action. In other words, if God didn't initiate the work, it's dead. How does faith come? By hearing God speak. And so you see religion today going through all types of works, doing all types of good things. And God calls it dead works. Why? Because it's something they initiated. It's not something God initiated. And what we do, we're told to be led by the Spirit. And so ministry should be led by the Spirit. What we do should be prompted by the Spirit of God on the inside of it, not some whelm. You know, well, I think I'd like to go on a mission trip. And so, I mean, this is a common thing, okay? And so people go on a mission trip, and I mean, I've been in on many, you understand? And I've been absolutely embarrassed by the conduct of some of the people that I've been around. They didn't have God on their mind at all while they're there. They're there on a vacation. They're there going on an ego trip. They're there to go back and tell somebody, well, I went here and I went there and I did this and I did that. Dead works. You follow me? I can tell you this. If I go, I want to know that I'm going with a green light from the Lord. Not that I'm just going to be going, you understand? But with purpose. Not some man's purpose. Not fulfilling some man's vision. But fulfilling the mandate of God. You follow me? Then it's not a dead work. It's a living work. So, all this is pointing to that. You just have to glean it. You never knew that about all these animals, did you?
No.
We don't even know what part of them are.
True story. These shall you eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever has fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, them you shall eat. And of them that have not fins and scales in the seas, and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination to you. They shall be even an abomination unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh, but you shall have their carcasses in abomination. Whatsoever has no fins nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination unto you.
So they couldn't eat lobster and crab legs and shellfish and all this kind of stuff, right? No, it had to have scales and fins. What's it do? It's here again. It's a separation. You with me? And I get somewhat amused at people. They won't eat pork, but they'll eat the crab meat or lobster or whatever. What are you doing? If you're going to live by the law, live by the law. You're violating the law if you do that. Thank God we're not under that. But the Israelites under the old covenant were under that law to keep the separation between unclean and clean. To us, being led by the Spirit is clean. Yielding to the flesh is unclean. It's that simple.
Verse 13. And these are they which you shall have an abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle and the ostrich and the osprey, and the vulture and the kite after his kind, every raven after his kind, and the owl and the night hawk and the cuckoo and the hawk after his kind, and the little owl and the cormorant and the great owl, and the swan and the pelican and the guider eagle, and the stork and the heron after her kind, and the lapwing and the bat.
So God said, don't eat vultures. What do vultures eat? Dead stuff. Refuge. Stay away from the dead stuff. There's a lot of buzzards in church, you understand? They prey on the smut, the gossip, and all this type stuff. There is no place in a Christian's life for getting involved in those things. If it doesn't match Philippians 4:8 in what you're thinking about, then leave it alone. You follow me? The true, the honest, the just, the pure, the lovely, the things of good report, the things of praise. If it doesn't match that, leave it alone. Now, here again, you have a type pointing to where we live today. We're not under the type. We're under a better covenant, established on better promises. And we have a higher standard than they did. The law said you can't do it. Jesus said, don't think about it. Which is a higher standard. If you don't get it in your thoughts, then you're not going to carry it out in action. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And so here are these things, there's little bits and pieces that we glean out of this. It's things you leave alone. Don't mess with the stuff that's messing with dead stuff. Are you with me? We're people of life. And I'm talking about eternal life. It's not something you get after you die. It's something you have when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Spirit of God comes into you and gives you life. So eternal life's already started. You may say, you know, I've heard people say, you know, about so-and-so dead. They're not dead. They're very much alive. The house they live in has been vacated. But the person didn't die. You follow? You have to know who you are. God's wanting this inward man to control the outward man. That's why he says be led by the Spirit. If you're not led by the Spirit, you're going to do whatever the flesh wants to do. What's the old thing? If it feels good, do it. That's not spirit. That's carnality. That pertains to flesh. Leave it alone. You with me? You good?
Verse 20. All fowls that creep going upon all four shall be an abomination to you. Yet these may you eat of every flying creeping thing that goes upon all four which have legs above their feet to leap withal upon the earth. Even these of them you may eat, the locust after his kind, and the bald locust after his kind, and the beetle after his kind, and the grasshopper after his kind. But all other flying creeping things which have 4 feet shall be an abomination unto you.
So, that probably doesn't affect most people. You don't go around eating insects, right? I don't know what the heathen did, but evidently he put that in there because they did. I've heard of some gross things that people eat today, okay? John the Baptist's diet was what? Locust and wild honey, right? Mm-hmm. So he was clean.
Mm-hmm.
He was under the law. He was living clean by the law. But other insects, they were to leave alone. You with me? Just clean the principle out of it. Know the difference between unclean and clean and leave the unclean alone. Know the difference between what God accepts and what God doesn't accept. And leave that stuff alone that he doesn't accept. And I'm not talking about do's and don'ts and living under rules and regulations. I'm talking about being led by the Spirit. You with me?
Mm-hmm. And for these you shall be unclean. Whosoever touches the carcass of them shall be unclean until the evening. And whosoever beareth aught of the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. The carcass of every beast which divideth the hoof, and is not cloven-footed, nor chews the cud, and unclean unto you, every one that toucheth them shall be unclean. And whatsoever goeth upon his paws, among all manner of beasts that go on all four, those are unclean unto you. Whoso toucheth their carcass shall be unclean until the evening. And he that beareth the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. They are unclean unto you.
Now, there's something in this to glean that even if a person did violate, they weren't just totally cut off. They had a protocol they could follow. And be cleansed and be accepted again. You understand? That's why you and I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He says, don't sin, but if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father. You're not cut off, you understand? The only thing that's going to cut you off is rejection of the only one who can save you. And if you reject your Savior, there is no salvation. You follow? But you seek mercy even under the law. But he was very specific. Don't touch it. Don't eat it. Don't touch it. It'll make you unclean. Anything that's going to make you unclean before God, not keep you in right standing with God, leave it alone. Now, this is a teaching in and of itself. I'm just going to mention it. There is a right standing in relationship. There is a right standing in fellowship. You can be in right standing in relationship and out of right standing in fellowship. The prodigal son is an excellent example. Even though he goes out and lives an ungodly lifestyle, his father never disowned him. But he was definitely out of fellowship. He was not in right standing in fellowship. But when he repented and returned home, what happens? He's restored into fellowship. The Lord does the same thing with us. Now, the strong recommendations, don't get out of fellowship, but stay in fellowship with the Lord on a daily basis. Stay in right standing in relationship as well as fellowship.
Very good. Verse 29. These also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth, the weasel and the mouse and the tortoise after his kind, and the ferret and the chameleon and the lizard and the snail and the mole. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Whosoever does touch them, when they be dead, when they are dead, shall be unclean until the evening.
If you think about this, you're talking about detail. They are getting detail. And so they're without excuse. They can't say, well, I didn't know this, I didn't know that. I mean, he's listing all these things. I mean, you know, the insect, the creeping thing, the flying things, the four-footed things. I mean, everything. God's making sure that they have the detail of what is clean and unclean by God's standard. And here again, that was to keep Israel separated from all other nations. That's not for you to camp down on. We're to camp down on what keeps us separated, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is what sets us apart. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're set apart for God to represent Him. Israel was set apart by this law to represent God, but they failed in the representation because they would not follow the law. And so many people today fell in representation because they don't want to do it God's way. Well, I've got a better idea. Well, I believe it's like this. Yeah, I have people to tell me that. They'll come to me, they'll ask me something, and you ask me something, and I'm going to give you what the scriptures say. Well, I see it this way. I believe it like this. No, I'm not going to argue with you. Believe what you want to believe. God will give you the right to be wrong, but it'll be to your detriment. And so my reply is, does God believe what you believe? And if God doesn't believe what you believe, you're in trouble because God's not going to change His belief. His is right. God's not schizophrenic. He doesn't believe 20 different things. You understand? He has a standard that applies to everyone, every nation, every culture. You follow me? He doesn't bend rules here and bend rules there. There's one way. That's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Verse 32. And upon whatsoever any of them, when they are dead, does fall, it shall be unclean, whether it be any vessel of wood or raiment or skin or sack or whatsoever vessel it be, wherein any work is done, it must be put into water, and it shall be unclean until the evening. So it shall be cleansed.
So, you can look at that and say, well, that's not fair. I mean, I'm just minding my own business in this house. What God is, I believe, saying here is you be on guard all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You be cautious. It's the same way with us. We have to keep our guard up all the time. Guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the forces of life. You with me? But if something happened, I mean, something dead just follow you. I mean, you're walking along, somebody drops dead beside of you, and they fall over on you, and you're unclean. What would that do with the morticians? They stayed unclean.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad they're not under law? They'd have to do away with that business. No. He's making a distinction. You be on guard. Stay away from the dead. Stay away from the dead. Stay away from the dead. Do you understand that's the message through death? Stay away from the dead. And so what's that in the New Covenant? Stay away from the dead stuff. You go with what's energized by the life of God. Amen.
Amen. You know, we're talking about, we've correlated that stay away from the dead with, in my thinking, the sinful practices and whatnot. But you think about an unregenerate person and how the scriptures teach us not to be unequally yoked. So I see relationship in that too. It's not that you don't minister to people that are spiritually dead, because somebody needs to share the gospel with them to give them, how are we born again? By the word of God, right? To give them the word. But
you know, over the years, that's one thing that I would not do. I would not perform a wedding for a believer and unbeliever. A lot of people take that into culture and racial and all this, but the message is the unbeliever and the believer. You can't join death to life. And I've had people to get extremely upset with me, even leave the church over that issue. But I just say, I'm not going to violate my conscience for you. I'm not going to violate the word. This is new covenant, not old covenant. You understand? Stay away from the dead. Stay away from the dead. You know, I've told, I won't say who, but I'll just say I've told someone, don't go looking for a wife in the bars. That's death. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
No, if you want a person that's going to treat you right, a person that's righteous, then go to a righteous place. And then, don't just throw caution to the wind, because there could be unrighteous people in righteous places. But here again, listen to the Spirit. Keep the separation. Clean, unclean. Life, death.
Okay, I think time's up. It's
okay.
A good place to stop.
Okay.
And we'll pick back up with verse 33 when we come back.